Welcome back, everyone. Here's some more good-ass shit from conservatives who are pissed off at Stephen King for his anti-Trump views, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is an open letter posted onto our conservative.
Great.
Dear Stephen, screw you. I used to be a faithful reader, but honestly, I've not been one for years now. You are my favorite author. I used to walk into a local bookstore and buy your books in hardback, but I quit when you came out as a loony leftist.
Mm.
Never again will I spend my hard-earned money on your books, and I now badmouth you every chance I get. Too bad you decide to keep your political pie hole. Too bad you decide to open your political pie hole. You should have just kept being a writer. Mm. Dumbass.
Mm.
So a reminder that Stephen King is a very classic old-school Democrat type who has been unabashedly so since the 1970s.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always been a Democrat guy who's talked
leftist.
About it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the political pie hole, I like that. I think old Steve here might have a run for his money with this wordsmith going around out here.
Yeah, I think that's a political pie hole. There's probably a shitty bar in D.C. called
gotta be. If not,
yeah,
another rift.
We can pay so many millions of dollars to open that up.
So we mentioned earlier, but Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining is probably one of the best known adaptations of King's work.
Absolutely.
Even though it's not truly faithful to the source material whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of theories surrounding the movie, stuff about the moon landing, the Holocaust, all sorts of stuff. Look it up. It's pretty good. I've heard most of them, but there was one that I discovered on Twitter while looking up posts for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
At the Dork Mite posted, the BJ Bear wasn't the only gay ghost in Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
So was Delbert Grady. Listen to the way he enunciates naughty, willful, and sir while looking at Jack Torrance in exactly this way in an otherwise empty men's restroom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Infestation of gay ghosts, apparently, at the Overlook
at the old Overlook, yeah.
Room 237, that documentary...
Yeah,
one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's so good though. The amount of effort that went into it to just like
that one lady that has the theory about the what's it called, the Minotaur or whatever.
Yes,
she has this whole thing that the movie is just about because she saw in one frame like a poster in the background that looked like
a Minotaur, but it was a guy riding a bike. I think
he was skiing.
Right, that Jack represents the Minotaur.
Yeah,
from,
and like that was the entire point of the movie. Absolutely wild. Some of the dumbest.
It's a very well done documentary with some of the worst.
Yeah, it's weird to see a documentary well done produced, with horrible content, just absolutely atrocious. Speaking of interesting theories and The Shining, the movie Dr. Sleep was released recently. It's an adaptation of Steve's book of the same name.
Mm-hmm.
It being a sequel to The Shining. And a guy named Myth76 watched it and shared his personal theories about it with the r/conspiracy subreddit.
Okay.
I just watched the movie Dr. Sleep, and it contains a lot of truth. Like a lot of Hollywood movies, there is truth mixed with misinformation.
Mm.
Truths in the movie include the abduction and sacrifices of children. In the movie, this cult of people take children with some sort of gift, and they torture them and feed on their fear and pain. In reality, children are abducted and tortured by the reptilian/archon parasitic entities, and they do feed on emotions such as fear. They feed on negative/low vibrational/low frequency energy. They can take on a form of a human temporarily as well. One of the biggest lies or misinformation in the movie is the statement that only a few are born with this gift, telepathy and telekinesis. I believe everyone is capable of great things using their mind, but the knowledge of assessing these abilities has been withheld from this.
Okay.
A user responded, okay, how big is that tinfoil hat? This is on the r/conspiracy subreddit.
Yeah, so if you're hitting it out of the park there, you're pretty well.
Someone's like, Jesus Christ, what is this fucking lunatic talking about?
So Myth27, you said? Is this screen name?
Myth with an I.
Yeah. So, well, if you ask me, it should be Meth27. Meth.
I think myth is works more, but okay.
Well, Not every Stephen King movie is an adaptation. Back in the early 90s, Stephen made news when he announced that he'd be writing an original screenplay for a movie, mm-hmm. not based on any of his established works. The resulting film was titled Sleepwalkers, and the storyline revolves around a family of shape-shifting energy vampires who move into a sleepy northern town.
Yeah.
Here's a review of the movie from the IMDb message boards. Mm-hmm. Very weird story. Okay, I taped this off of TV and missed the very start. The film was about 10 seconds or so into the titles, I assume, so if anything happened before then, I missed it.
That's usually when all the good stuff happens in a movie.
Lots of people say Mark Hamill is in this. I didn't see him. I did recognize Clive Barker, John Landis, and obviously Stephen King doing some really awful acting as the graveyard attendant. Alice Krige looks lovely, apart from the scenes where she has the cat face or is in full alien makeup. Even with the opening titles, it's never really explained very well exactly what sleepwalkers are or where they come from. From the title sequence, I assume they are cat-like bipeds who live by extracting life force from humans. I assume they live a long time, and these particular two are possibly the last of their kind. Got that all from the titles, huh? Great. Uh-huh. Add to this a very large dose of incest. Yes, I thought it was a butt suspect too. Mm-hmm. Shapeshifting, killer cats, and invisibility, and you have sleepwalkers. It's a very bad story that has no real explanations behind the two main characters and far too many cameos to try and distract from the simple fact that not enough is explained to the viewer. Avoid.
Hmm.
1 out of 10 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I remember when this movie came out.
Yeah.
In 1990. I remember the trailer came out, and it used to scare me so much as a kid that I had to physically leave the room and cover my ears until it was over. And the song used in the trailer, Sleepwalk, still creeps me out to this day.
It's a truly horrible movie I hope I never have to see again in my life, from the horrifying scarred memories as a kid.
From the master of horror himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great screenplay.
I don't think it would have made a great book or story either.
So. No. So, hopefully, he hasn't really done much since then. He did a couple. He did that The Shining miniseries, mm-hmm. and he did like Rose Red,
Storm of the Century.
He did that.
The Maximum
Overdrive
remake, and Kingdom Hospital.
Yes.
Which was good, but that was also a remake of like a Dutch thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, so now it's ruined.
I found a guy who freaking loves Stephen King. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Stephen King is hands down, short of Tom Robbins, the most talented storyteller alive. Okay. When he dies, know that the world lost a genius. If this were ancient times, he'd be considered a bard. The bard only kings could hire because he is that good at what he does. You want art and literature because you have deemed yourself fancy and above the base. Too smart to fall for such tricks, eh? You're limiting yourself in lieu of what everyone else thinks is cool. The man is not Shakespeare, is not Chaucer, but the man can spin a story that turns everyone who reads his work onto their heads. Mm. He is my favorite author. All I do is read. I've successfully read through Finnegan's Wake and understood all of it.
God.
My point is, sometimes you want artistic writing and sometimes you want a story. There's not a storyteller on earth that can outdo King. Not one. From horror to slice of life. From drama to comedy. From all the above combined in an anthology. King is a man you read when you want a good story. One that shakes your soul. You think you know better, but what have you written lately? It's a weird attack at the end there.
Really strange. Now, Stephen King is arguably one of the most... by some thought to be one of the most overhyped authors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
A title he often shares with Tom Robbins, who has been described as the biggest fraud in literary history. So really interesting for this guy to choose those two guys.
Yeah, interesting combo, yeah. Mm.
God, Tom Robbins. Oof.
That's a tough one. Tough one to lump together.
All right, so a guy posted this to R. Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
In Misery, Stephen King mentions that Annie Wilkes once worked for Riverview Hospital in Harrisburg, PA. I'm a Harrisburg native, and there's no Riverview Hospital here, but this is a review of our river from a room in Harrisburg Hospital, and put a picture of a river out of a hospital room window. Stellar Zom 13EE replied, "So then, might this hospital be the one he's referencing?" To which the OP said, "That's what I'm thinking." God, just fucking idiots. Like, really,
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say.
Could this fiction thing, could this be? Maybe.
Yeah, of course. I found this thread on the Famous People subform of the 16types.info community, a website for, I guess, fans of Myers-Briggs.
Whatever you would call them, sure.
The thread was about Stephen King's Myers-Briggs type, and it included a poll. And INTP won with a staggering 3 votes.
Wow.
The OP Disco Joe added more to this thread. From reading several of his books, including his insightful autobiography and Guide to Writing on Writing, I get the distinct mature ENTP vibe with him. He seems to get his ideas from a complex stream of intuition, which he then enriches through a childlike feeling of wonder and glee,
man.
Things that I associate with your typical ENTP. User Cone responded, "Yeah, I just realized he kind of looks like my girlfriend's dad, who is an INTP."
Okay.
To which the OP responded, "Yeah, I take it back. After further consideration, I concur that he is in fact INTP." So it doesn't take much.
Swayed that one.
My girlfriend's dad kind of looks like him, who's an INTP.
You know what?
So you know what? He's an INTP.
You're right. Sorry, guys. That whole thing I just wrote out, forget it. So which Myers-Briggs types loves to snowplow cocaine and polish off cases of beer in one sitting? Which one is that?
Mm.
Which one are you?
Which one? You can go back and listen to the Myers-Briggs episode if you want to hear what our types were. Listen to us rattle off various acronyms.
Have no understanding of it whatsoever.
Yep.
So Rage is a late 1970s Stephen King novel about a kid who's bullied and decides to go on a shooting spree to school.
One of the Bachman books.
Okay. Sure, whatever that means. It's the only work the author has allowed to go out of print because of the subject matter. And I found this thread over on the message board of StephenKing.com, Rage and Incels. Are kids who were bullied in the early 2000s the incels we see today? Bullying has evolved quite a bit, namely how socially unacceptable physical violence has become. However, when I read Rage, I couldn't help but think of the generation of young men who were severely bullied in high school and are now young adults. The bullying, on top of the fact that it was such a normalized social experience in high school, makes me wonder what the story Decker has to say about this growing community of men who hate women and everyone alike.
Yeah.
And here's response.
Great.
Welcome to the board. Thanks for some deep stuff to mull over.
Very deep stuff. Yeah, he said bullying has evolved quite a bit.
Yeah.
For example, some people start podcasts where they make fun of people's posts online.
Sometimes those people find out. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We'll talk about that at a later date. We'll talk more about Bachman books at some point, too, I'm sure. I found a Facebook page titled Stephen King Sucks.
Bold.
There's only one post on this page. Okay. And it was done on May 22nd, 2010. It says, "Invite your friends." That got 2 likes.
God damn.
There are some visitor posts, however. Okay. K. Todd Raymer said this. He's the most overrated author in all of literature.
There you go.
I looked up, I was curious about this K. Todd Raymer guy, so I Googled him, and I found his Goodreads account.
Okay.
He's rated only 2 Stephen King books, The Stand and The Tommyknockers, both of which he gave 5 stars.
Okay. Overrated, but...
Don't get that one.
Loved his stuff, huh?
Another post on this page is by a guy named Daniel Berganini. What a prick he is. I posted a negative comment on his page, and not only was it deleted... but I was also blocked from posting any additional comments or even liking a post or comment.
Nice.
I used to love his books. Now I'm tempted to burn all of them in my possession.
What?
So that is getting mad online.
Yeah, that is pretty, rage, yeah.
Okay. Pretty classic example of that. And finally, another guy named Alan Edwards simply left this comment. What a retard douchebag.
Nice.
Don't know if he's talking about Stephen King or the guy who runs the page or anyone else on the page. Hard to say for sure. Yeah.
So we touched on in the main episode, but when you mentioned, for some reason, when I was like, I remember in fifth grade that every kid I knew would be carrying around a hardcover copy of The Stand.
Yep.
And for some reason, like, everybody's parents had a copy of that fucking book. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that was the time.
It was a big book.
I think it was the unabridged version had come out.
Yeah.
And that was like the big thing. So I just remember that fucking thing being everywhere. And for this guy, he picked that and Tommyknockers, which is another like exceptionally long.
Yeah, it's like 800 pages maybe. It's a big book.
So just the two hefty boys from, and to not like the guy, but to read two of his longest books is,
yeah.
Well, or, like, I guess.
Not just read them, but love them. Five give stars. Them perfect scores.
Goddamn. All right. All right, so a guy named Allman54 went to R Movies to discuss a Stephen King classic, Stephen King and John Carpenter. Brief thoughts on the movie Christine. Wait, what? Growing up, I always enjoyed the movie Christine. The opening scene is fun to watch as the car, shiny and new, rolls off the assembly line while Bad to the Bone is playing. But one inspector nearly gets his hand chopped off when the hood unexpectedly slams down on it. Then another inspector climbs in and shuts the door, lit cigar in hand. Then a few minutes later, someone opens the door and the guy falls out dead. Well, we assume he's dead. This immediately sets up that something is wrong with the car from the beginning. The wait what part is that this movie explanation doesn't make a lot of sense. Hundreds of cars were made in this production line. All pieces were put on the cars at the same time, so there's no individuality. It's as if each car were uniquely assembled one by one. How is this an evil spirit or whatever going to choose to possess this particular fury on an assembly line? The book, of course, did not mention the assembly plant. The book implies that there was something unique about it after it was purchased by the owner, Roland LeBlay, but it was never really implied as evil. The owner was a dickhead, and it's assumed that when he died, his spirit went into the car. The book also talks about how LeBlay's daughter was very young. She started choking on food. Then LeBlay put her in the car where she would die. His wife later committed suicide in the car. But in the early years of its existence, the car really didn't do anything magical. That all came later when Arnie bought it. So I guess the point is that maybe it would have made more sense in the movie if the evil that possessed the car came after the car was built on the assembly plant in terms of the movie. Thoughts? And the top comment on this post from user Horse Clock said, I think Stephen King loved himself some cocaine back then.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He really, really, really did. In fact, I think Christine is one of several novels that he wrote that he literally doesn't remember writing because he was so absolutely out of his mind on cocaine. And speaking of Christine, user Nuclear Fallout has read Christine as well as several other Stephen King books. Mm-hmm. And has got some opinions about it.
Okay.
This was posted onto R Books. I hate Stephen King's writings.
Okay.
I've read Misery, Christine, Carrie, The Shining, and Pet Sematary. None of them were good reads to me, especially Misery, and before anyone gets too angry at me, it is a personal opinion he's not a bad writer, just overpraised, at least to me. For thous who read Misery, went too fucking bored of the same five chapters repeating. Main character, looking at barn thinking about his boring life, she comes and screams and leaves. Main character back at think about his boring ass life. He asks for something. She gets pissed in the middle of doing it. Two more chapters of bored doom. And yes, I know, the last 3-4 chapters are the best part. The book's 100% transfer better to film. Does anyone else agree, or does everyone love him? P.S. The Shining was 100% great. No is use with it. So, pretty good post.
Okay.
A user responded with grammar that poor, I am not convinced you are capable of reading and comprehending even at the level of Stephen King.
Damn.
To which I openly replied, I may be bad at typing on a fucking phone, but it doesn't mean I'm bad at reading. I've read and understand Ayn Rand and works of literature. Stephen King's works are at the level of teenagers' reading skill.
Damn.
So this guy is showing off his cards. He's read Ayn Rand works of literature, so he knows how to read.
Man, that's bad, calling Ayn Rand works of literature. Now, I will agree that I do think that teens are King's, like, perfect audience. That's, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Now, I do like breaking down Misery as like, well, this bitch comes in, she yells at the guy, and then he leaves, and he's sitting there thinking about like, oh, my boring life. I think you kind of glazing over.
Quite a couple things there and there.
That would be, you if you distill, cut out like all like the violent parts of Misery, and it's just a lady that comes in and like bitches at a guy in a bedroom every once in a while.
It probably wouldn't be a big hit. Yeah, you could do that with any book. Just like make it as boring as possible. Yeah.
God, that's great. I love that. All right, well, I found this on a gentleman's Facebook page. Have you ever seen a movie called Cujo? The movie is about a dog named Cujo that gets bitten by a bat. In the beginning of the movie, the dog named Cujo was a joyful and loving and playful dog. But after Cujo was bitten, Cujo's joyful spirit left, and Cujo's loving spirit left, and Cujo's playful spirit left. Yes, once Cujo was bitten, Cujo was never ever the same. Meaning, Cujo became quick to anger, and Cujo became quick to upset, and Cujo became bitter all the time. Yes, that one bite would forever change and alter Cujo's walk. Wow. You gotta get this. In life, have you ever been bitten? Maybe you were bitten by a lost job. Or maybe you were bitten by a friend who turned on you. Or maybe you were bitten by a loved one who let you down. In life, bites can hurt. Yes, bites can cause pain. Yes, bites can cause discomfort. However, we as Christians can never allow bites to change our destiny. Yes, we as Christians can never allow bites to change our future. Yes, we as Christians can never allow bites to change or alter our walk with our God.
Okay, so
yes,
if I'm hearing this properly, Cujo was a Christian before being bitten by a bat.
before contracting rabies, yeah.
is that what I'm getting here?
He lost his way.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, the book that King says 100% does not remember a word of it.
And is probably, in all honesty, one of the better written.
Like, he's gone back around and is like, yeah, it's a pretty fucking good book. It has no memory because he was on cocaine for 65,000 hours a day.
God.
Out of his goddamn gourd. Yeah, and it a lot of people nowadays, because he's been sober for a while, they say, oh, you know what? His most memorable stuff was when he was very, very high. I don't know if you're familiar with the website LennonMurderTruth.com.
No.
Have you not heard about this?
Not until this episode. No.
So a gentleman published this website revealing the truth about the Beatles legend John Lennon's untimely murder.
Okay.
And the truth is that Stephen King did it.
Yeah.
So sure. There's quite literally thousands and thousands of words on this website that proves this theory. Plus, there's a book available on Amazon that goes into even more detail. But he summarized it pretty good right here. The story about Mark Chapman is a cover-up. Bold print government cryptographic codes that include the killer's face and true identity, the code's alleged name and letter to the editor printed before the murder in Richard Nixon's book, The Real War, and back issues of Time, Newsweek, and U.S. News and World Report magazines printed before, during, and after the night of December 8, 1980, prove that Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan arranged for the author Stephen King, then barely famous, to assassinate John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
That King's writings draw dramatically from the crime and that he taunts us all in his interviews and comments only makes this story the story of a lifetime. My 24-page booklet contains everything you've seen here and much more. Please order your copy. I guarantee it is the absolute truth about what really happened to John Lennon. Happy code cracking. So, the main reason he has for this theory, if you go to the website, is that in the early 80s, Stephen King kind of sort of looked like Mark David Chapman.
Sure, similar
That's
glasses.
That's kind of the genesis of this thing. He was a pudgy guy with 80s glasses, which is what every pudgy guy with glasses like that looked like. There's also a newspaper clipping from a letters to the editor section from a few weeks before the killing. And this is fascinating. I mean, it's one of those, if you have any sort of inkling of being a conspiracy theorist, you could be drawn in because it's all in one page, letters to the editor, and it has a guy with the last name Chapman,
okay,
another guy named David King, and plus it says right before David King says, mark my words. So you got Mark, David, Chapman, King, Stephen. Oh, you can have a ball with it, all on the same page. Have fun. He then pieces this together with over 60 headlines from Time and Newsweek in 1980, which all together build this narrative about the impending murder of John Lennon.
Yeah.
And he also used some samples of King's writing before the murder to show that he was going to do it, which were just like descriptions of people being killed. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, like, this guy writes about someone being killed, which means he's planning to kill someone. Yeah, sure. There's also a Playboy interview where King mentions John Lennon a couple times. So that's even more evidence, even though it was just him praising. Like, he's mentioning John Lennon because he's one of the most famous people in the world. And yeah. it's not weird for him to talk about that.
And, I mean, Shine On is mentioned in The Shining, I believe.
Sure. So I remember seeing this website ages ago, like 10, 15 years ago. Heard about it. I thought it was one of the best things that I heard in my life. I went there this week for this show, and it's still being updated. Here's one from just a couple weeks ago. I support Trump, usually, not so much here, as he should arrest Stephen King, make me famous so I can intervene in the crisis, rather than killing anyone and do it that way. When I heard him say 52 sites, including cultural, as if there was any moral equivalency applicable, I was disappointed. For all he knows, Iran took our hostages in 1979 to elect Reagan and dispose Carter, who was protecting the Shah at the time. I noticed Trump miscuing his use of the language, tolerized terror, and wonder if he's reeling from the adrenaline and should he calm himself down. He wasn't even aware that you can't hit cultural sites before he assassinated anyone or shot his mouth off. Until Trump arrests Stephen King, he is all show and no go compared to me.
Wow, that's going to be the...
This guy, he likes Trump, but until he arrests Stephen King, he's not a fan. Yeah. Not as big of a fan as he could be.
Yeah. This was very interesting to me, so I went to the website, checked it out, and I just want to give you a little rundown. Here's some info from the About section.
Great.
This is at the very top. Site hacked. Purchase button not working. Send check to below address, please.
Oh. So,
and then list his address.
Oh, no.
Hi, my name is Steve Lightfoot. I'm a 61-year-old athletic, young-looking man who knows more about our sick planet than most of all of you do. I gave up a dream of playing professional golf after my discovery of government codes in major news magazines that linked our government and a horror writer to John Lennon's murder that took over my life some 33 years ago.
Yeah.
The biggest news story since, I'll say, since Jesus Christ, has not been well received by my so-called fellow human beings. This continues for 2,500 more words.
He also notably has a van that has a bunch of words from the website on it that he drives around his town.
This guy rocks.
People see it. Yeah.
Gave up a life of maybe professional golf.
This is just kind of a classic crazy person that I don't know how guys like this think that, you know what's going to convince people is the bunch of words on a van as I drive around. That'll get them going.
I'm not crazy.
No, it can't be me. It's impossible for it to be me.
All right, so a guy named JV Graz posted this on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen King's written roughly 170 billion books. He's predicted the rise of everything, including vampires and undead cats, though he somehow missed the internet and the collapse of the Soviet Union. Stop treating people as serious simply because they're famous.
Hmm?
So somewhere along the line, I missed the undead vampire cat uprising.
Is this from Sleepwalkers? Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Was that a predictive movie?
Yeah, that's right. That was it was a documentary.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. And the whole stop treating people as serious because they're famous?
Come on.
This is an odd little thing to throw in there.
Yeah.
Talked about people who don't like Stephen King. I found this rant from Reddit. Stephen King sucks.
Okay.
Stephen King as a person is fucked up, and I'm not much of a fan of his books because it's not as realistic. See, as something like Birds, just look up the movie Birds and then watch it, and then you'll see what I mean. Birds could actually happen, and it's scary for that reason. It just preys on the fear of clowns that 3 to 4 year olds have irrationally, and that some carry over to the later years. Birds take something completely possible, but not frightening at all, and makes it one of the most fear-inducing movies out there. You're speaking to someone who is a self-proclaimed brave person, BT Dubs.
not afraid of clowns, but Bert, watch out.
Yeah, terrified of punctuation, apparently. Oh, man. Really terrified of that shit.
Yeah, I could definitely see a bunch of birds going wild and attacking a small Californian town. That mm-hmm. would definitely happen.
Yeah.
And it has. And that's also a documentary, by the way. That movie was real.
Birds?
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
So a guy posted this on Our Books. Mm-hmm. A bit pissed off with the foreword in The Running Man. I have a longer commute to work and back every day, so I constantly have an audiobook to listen to. Recently, I bought The Running Man, which was written by Stephen King under his pen name, Richard Bachman. King starts off with a foreword about why he decided to write the book under his pen name, and it was an interesting bit of info, but within the first 2 minutes of the foreword, he literally spills out exactly how the book ends. I spent the whole book wondering how the current situation would change to match the final climax of the story. It was completely spoiled for me. Mm. Why would anyone put a spoiler in a foreword? I realize that this book was written in 1982, but I can't possibly think that the ending of this book is well known that one could assume everyone would know it. You would think details like this would be mentioned in an afterword. Disappointing. And here's a comment from another user. The book is from 1982.
Yes. It's almost 40 years old now. Stephen King himself, I think the reason why he did that is because he doesn't care about spoilers.
Yeah.
This is actually from his Twitter. In 2014, spoilers mostly outrage spoiled people. As my 8th grade class's tough girl used to say, if you don't like it, don't look. Which is an interesting thing to say, especially if you're listening to an audiobook and you didn't want to look. In fact, you weren't looking at all. It's an audiobook.
It's just there, yeah.
And you heard some asshole from Maine reading off the spoiler for you.
God.
Yeah, he and I've never we've talked about it.
Yes.
I think spoilers are overrated as far as it depends if it's the thrust of the story, if it's just another part of it. But it's also not surprising considering how much he hates endings in general.
Yeah, and the ending of that book is really
another Bachman book, by the way.
Yes. Not great anyways, but that's fine.
So this is my last post that I found. It's a couple of posts here condensed into one. I found a Facebook page called Stephen King Stuff. Here's a description of that about page.
Okay.
I've been reading Stephen King since I was 15 years old when I found an old battered copy of Carrie in a bookshelf of an old building when I was about to start work at. Mm. At that moment, my life had changed and a door had opened not just about Stephen, but about books and escapism and the need to read. Since then, I have become an avid collector of rare and signed works of our Master King. This page is for fellow concert readers, lovers of his books and movies. Long live the King. So, interestingly enough, this page is pretty quiet except for one lady who's not the admin, but she constantly posts onto it. Her name is Joanne Hogland. Many times a week she posts on it. Some of them are related directly to Stephen King, and others are not.
The ramblings of a man woman.
Like this. Augmented and virtual reality are about delivering a sense of presence. Uh-huh. The feeling that you're right there with another person or in another place.
Oh.
Instead of having devices that take us away from the people around us, the next platform will help us be more present with each other and will help the technology get out of the way. Even though some of the early devices seem clunky, I think these will be the most human and social technology platforms anyone has built yet.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Okay, I got a theory. Okay, go on.
A few days earlier, she posted this. What do you think? Within 6 months, the government will reveal all UFO secrets. ancient aliens. That's what she said in parentheses after that. On Christmas Eve, she posted this. Wow, I got a like from PBS this morning. My Christmas is merry.
Oh, man.
And, back in July, she posted this. My grandson is apartment shopping today in Boston. If I were that close, I would take the Stephen King tour in Bangor. Keep in mind that Bangor, Maine is 4 hours away from Boston.
Well, that's still closer than she is, right?
I think she's in like Arizona or something, yeah. Which, you know, you're right. But still, it's not like, I'm just going to scoot on over to Boston real quick.
I'll be back in
to go over to Maine.
Could be back in 10 hours after this.
And she would take her time doing this to her.
So this, okay, her virtual reality thing.
Yeah, what the fuck was that
makes
about?
Me think of the Lawnmower Man.
Ooh, wow, you're probably right.
That except, she's like,
but that's not even a Stephen King thing.
Yeah, it is. It's, well,
it's
based on
Stephen King sued the movie because it had absolutely nothing to do with the story that it's based on.
That's true. Because the other story is a lot different.
It's not even close. There's no virtual reality at all.
No, it's that's just the a entire fat movie. Little guy eating grass. Yeah.
So,
yeah, but I'm thinking that's where she went to with that.
Okay. She may be one of those like super fans that just likes anything with his name on it. Doesn't even matter if it's actually good or bad or it has anything to do with something that he has anything to do with. Yeah. She's an odd lady. She's like in her 60s or 70s or something.
God damn. Well, she knows what she likes, so good for her.
Yeah, she likes one thing. She knows she likes that
Richard
one
Bachman,
thing.
That's yep. right.
Old Dickie Box. Well, then we're going to get the hell out of here. Thanks, everybody. Bye.